नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नारायणं चरं नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 3rd chapter, text 5. Kalena Panchatvam Iteshu Krishnasho Lokeshu Paleshu Cha Sarva Hetu हेतुषु तमस् तदसित् गहनं गभीरं यस् तस्य हरे अपिविराचते विभु कालेन पञ्चत्वम् इतेषु कृष्णाशो लोकेषु फलेषु च सर्वहेतुषु तमस्तथासि गहनं गभीरम् यस्तस्य परे विराजते विभु। कालेन, इन ड्यू कोर्स ऑफ टाइम, after millions and millions of years, panchatvam, when everything illusory is annihilated, iteshu, all transformations, krishna shaha, with everything within this cosmic manifestation, lokeshu, all the planets or everything that exists, Paleshu, maintainers like Lord Brahma, Cha, also Sarva Hetushu, all causative existences, Tama, great darkness, Tada, then Asit, was Gahanam, very dense, Gabhiram, very deep, Yaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tasya, this dark situation, Pare, over and above, Abhivirachate, exists or shines, Vibhu, the Supreme, no. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I take shelter of His lotus feet. Purport. From the Vedic mantras, we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above everything. He is supreme above all the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. is the supreme controller. When everything disappears by the influence of his energy, the cosmic situation is one of dense darkness. The Supreme Lord, however, is the sunshine, as confirmed in the Vedic mantras. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. In our daily experience, when we are on earth, are in the darkness of night, the sun is always luminous somewhere in the sky. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Sun, always remains luminous, even when the entire cosmic manifestation is annihilated in due course of time. Kalena panchatva miteshu krishnacho lokeshu paleshu ca sarva hetushu tamastatasi kahanam gabhiram yastasya pare pibirachate vibhu. In due course of time, when all the causative and effective manifestations of the universe, including the planets and their directors and maintainers, are annihilated, there is a situation of dense darkness. Above this darkness, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and take shelter of his lotus feet. Vande si Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitta Shanto Tamonadao. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Banda Chagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Vancha Kalpa Drubhyasa Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pamanebhyo Vaishnevi Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam of the sixth canto, first four chapters, are very famous. It made the Srimad Bhagavatam very popular. This one, and also because of Achamil story, the next one. But this one, it deliverance of Gajendra, Gajendra Mokshana Leela, this story, and these wonderful prayers of Gajendra, and the whole incident, how he came so far, that he became cursed and became as a dull elephant. It's a very amazing story of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It shows that even in an animal form, who is dull, covered by tamasa, ignorance, the Krishna consciousness is there. That shows we are not this body. We are not this physical body. Even the universal body, it's also not the reality, because the universal body has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It exists only for some time. Everything in the material world is temporary. It has a beginning and an end. As Krishna tells in the Gita, whatever has a beginning and an end Whatever has a beginning will have an end, and whatever has an end will have a beginning again. This circle is always going on, of the repetition of coming and going, and for staying for some time. We people, or everyone in this material existence, we consider this one time what we have is very important. Yeah, it is very important if you use it in the proper, for the proper way, for self-realization, for developing God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Then it is very valuable. Durlabham manasam chanma tat atruvam artadam. This Prahlad Maharaj says, human form is very rarely achieved or attained after many, many changes of body. And therefore in this human form of life, we have one good opportunity to develop our consciousness, Krishna consciousness, our relationship with the Lord, and engaging in Sanatana Dharma. There's different kinds of dharmas, but Krishna says, Sarva dharmam pritya cha mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha shami masu cha. If you give up all these inferior dharmas who are not eternal, that means they're different occupations and duties we have in the human society, in the dharma and varnashram, different occupations, different duties. Bhagavatam describes later on seven kinds of, there's three dharma, there's Shudra dharma, there's Vaishya dharma, there's Kshatriya dharma, there's Brahmana dharma. There's Brahmachari dharma, there is Sannyas dharma. All these dharmas are prescribed. Every dharma has certain rules to follow, certain duties. And as long as one is not situated above our material conception and bodily conception, we have to follow this dharma. We cannot jump over our shadow. We cannot jump over our own nature. Our own nature is called svadharma. Sometimes we want to hurry up and overcome our nature by, in an artificial way, to take up a transcendental means or a process, and already give up prematurely. Prematurely giving up our occupations, and then there's a slipping away. There will be fall down maybe. Because one is not protected. Dharma is protecting us, either material dharma or spiritual dharma. Any dharma, it is not man-made. It is given by the Lord from the very beginning of the creation. Dharma, it is essential. Either material occupation, nimitta dharma, that means the temporary occupations, and according to our nature, we cannot give up. As long as we are not fixed in our mind, in our activities, with our words, completely in Brahman. What means Brahman? That means on the transcendental platform. Material world is darkness, tamasa. Spiritual world of Brahman is light. Tamasi ma jyotigama. That is Vedic mantra. Come out of the tamasa and come to the light. But we cannot come to the light on our own effort, on our own endeavor. Not possible to attain Brahman realization. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na sochati na kankshati. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu mat bhakti lavate param. That's stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahman realization is the beginning of bhakti. Because as long as we are hankering and lamenting for something in this material world, we cannot attain bhakti, pure bhakti. It's not attainable if we are still conquered and influenced by the gunas of the material nature. It's also stated in the Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami, he gives 10 items favorable and 10 items unfavorable. And they say, and one of the 10 unfavorable, we should not lament. We should not be overly attached or attached at all to material things, material possessions, material body, material family, and so on, possessions. We are too much attached, or we lament if we are losing it. Both is an obstacle in developing bhakti. In 11th canto Uddhava Gita, I think in 29th or 30th chapter, towards the end, Krishna tells to Uddhava, because Uddhava is asking about occupations, different activities, how to act without becoming entangled in these infruitive activities. And Krishna gives a very good advice. We should neither become too much detached and not too much attached to the material nature. Because too much attachment to material nature will make us crazy. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yadindriya aprenoti, as described by Rishabhadev, it makes us crazy for sense gratification. Nunam pramata vikarma, if we are engaging in these kind of activities. And if we are detaching ourselves from all things and rejecting everything, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mitya, like the impersonalistic way, give up everything, then we can get in trouble. Both is not good if we are too much attached and if we are too much detached in an artificial way. It's an artificial way. So therefore, in the point I wanted to make is, and the point is, that also the scriptures make is, we can only become really genuinely detached from material existence of tamaguna because we are so much connected and influenced and attached to it since time immemorial. It is only possible by devotion, by devotional prayers, by following sadhana bhakti described in Nectar of Devotion, favorable items and rejecting unfavorable items who are not helpful in developing love to Krishna or attachment to Krishna. And one important item of the archanam or of worshipping the Lord in bhajan or in worshipping for the sadhaka is offering prayers, vandanam, stutis. But these prayers should not be self-invented. Because if we are accepting self-invented prayers, because we don't know really how to pray properly, then we can easily become influenced, or his prayers is mixed with material and so-called spiritual, and it will not have a real effect. The Lord ultimately listens to the prayer coming from the heart, the pure prayer, helpless cry of the child, immediately attracts the mother to come. If the child is crying artificially or mischievous or rascal, the only tricking, once the trick gets cheap attention from the mother, mother will not come. At the time she will see, oh, you're a cheater. So I don't want to, I don't come next time when you cry call my name. But if the child really cries in a helpless mood, in the surrendering mood and calling the name of the mother immediately comes. That's also a promise Lord Ramachandra gives Lord Ramachandra is giving promise to the devotees. Lord Ramachandra is also Krishna, because the Lord is ultimately one. So there's one prayer. Sakrit eva prapano yas tavasmiti na yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai tadam yetat pratam mama. It is my vow, my promise, that if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, "Oh, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours," and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. It's quoted from Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, text 34, Lord Chaitanya, his teachings, instructions to Sanatana Goswami. So it's if one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna doesn't look who you are. If you're a Brahmana, if you're an untouchable, if you're an animal, if you're a human being, if you're a demigod or a sage, Krishna, for Krishna is all the same, because he sees from the transcendental platform. In him there's no darkness. Aditya vanam tamaso parastat. This famous Vedic prayer, it's from Purusha Shukta and Svetasvatara Upanishad, and also in the Gita, in the 8th chapter, Krishna says also the same statement, where he describes the nature of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is always situated in his transcendental, self-effulgent situation or position. He's never tamasa. He never comes in touch with the material nature. And actually the material nature only becomes benefited, becomes created, maintained, and ultimately annihilated. And in all this time it is benefited by the Lord. The Lord is always existing in his glorious position in the transcendental world, in the Vaikunthas, in Goloka, and his associates, eternal associates, the devotees who are always serving him in all the different kinds of rasa, attitudes, serving attitudes, they live with him. Because in the spiritual world there is no darkness. Darkness cannot enter. Darkness, Maya, can only enter the material world, because the material world is in darkness from the very beginning. When Brahma appeared, it was dark. When the world becomes destroyed after destruction, it is dark. But Brahma was bewildered in the beginning. But Krishna tells him, because Brahma asked Krishna different questions about his duty, about the Lord's nature, like that, about how he creates the world. So in Chatur Sloki, I mentioned last class, I will not repeat, there this is all mentioned. Krishna is revealing, he wants to give Brahma protection, because Brahma was in difficulty. He was confused about my duty. He knew what duty, but he didn't know, he was not sure how he will succeed without the mercy of the Lord, without that the Lord will give him the strength, his courage. Now, for any execution, for every plan we want to follow, we need a determination. And actually this determination is either coming from Maya or from the Lord. So those in the material world mostly are inspired by Maya, by lust, greed, like that, illusions, fantasy, so many plans, to what they want to achieve. But this all becomes destroyed. It's a hard labor, it's hard work. Parabhava yavat abodachata yavanna chikyasata atmatata. Because it is based on ignorance, avidya. Krishna and Krishna's world is always in vidya, that means in paravidya. It is in the transcendental position of transcendental knowledge. There's never ignorance. So Brahma, he wanted to get this empowerment and the protection of the Lord. And therefore the Lord told him, if you become conscious about me, about my eternal nature, never changing, always staying above this darkness of material creation, you will never become bewildered in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the creation. You will not become destroyed, you will not become illusioned and have a fall down because of the interaction of the material nature. Material nature has has a cause and an effect. The cause is the Mahatattva, and the effect is the Prakriti. And cause and effect ultimately, in the end of the creation, is entering in the body of Mahavishnu. It's entering in the body of Mahavishnu, stays there for some time, and when Mahavishnu is breathing out again, will become manifested. In the meantime, everything is dark. There are different destructions, pralayas, mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a destruction in the end of Brahma's life, there's a destruction in the end of Brahma's day, there's a destruction of a partial destruction of the in the Manu's day, or Manu's changes. That's a partial destruction. The three worlds become destroyed, but the upper planets, the Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, like that, they don't become destroyed. Those who reside, the great sages, self-realized sages, brahmacharis who reside there, they will not become destroyed. Brahma's followers will not become destroyed in the partial destruction of the universe during Manu, change of Manu. And then the fourth destruction is the destruction of the body. It's nitya. It's always going on. It's continuous. It's not nitya, sorry. It's continuous. Always going on, always taking place, and take birth and die. But the ultimate destruction, Krishna says, or Bhagavatam says, is the destruction of karma. And the destruction of karma, as we know, only can become removed or destroyed. Karmani nirahati bhakti bhajam. As described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Brahma Samhita, if we are surrendering to Krishna by bhakti yoga, karma become destroyed. Parapta and apararapta karmas become destroyed by bhakti alone. There's no other process who can destroy karma. No karma yoga, no jnana yoga, nor astanga yoga. All these different kinds of yoga, because they're all material. They cannot destroy karma. Like Narada, he says, yoga process can give you a certain relief by yama, niyama, pranayama, like that. Asana. Give you a certain relief from the material miseries. But it cannot destroy karma. It cannot destroy the repetition of birth and death. Only if a yogi ultimately comes to bhakti, and therefore the Bhagavatam only speaks about bhakti, even if Bhagavatam speaks about yoga, about karma, about jnana, about so many different processes, it is all related with bhakti. Because all these processes without bhakti will be a failure. It will not destroy karma. It will not liberate the soul. But to speak, to bring shelter at Krishna's lotus feet to attain the Goloka or Vaikuntha planets who are above the darkness. So with mantra, with prayers, we are able to get this connection, not with mobile phone, not with TV, not with any electronical arrangement, we can attain, get a connection to Vaikuntha Lila or Goloka Lila, to that world. We are completely cut off of that world. We are in ignorance, in darkness, and because we are so much attached to the technology actually given by Maya Dhanava. So we are so much attached to this system that even though we could absorb in Krishna consciousness purely, we're making ourselves so much dependent on it. This is a big problem. It's a big problem. But still, technology, it has also a good side if you engage it in Krishna service. But if you are becoming slaves of this system, electronical system, then we become completely dull. We become manipulated by these electronics and we become like drug addicts. So we have to come away from this attachment to anything, also electronic, gaming, internet and all these things, too much. It is Maya. If we can use it in the service of Krishna, for reading transcendental literatures, for transmitting transcendental knowledge or Krishna consciousness, this is very good media then, because all the people are connected with it now. But we, the devotees, we have to be connected from the heart and mind to the super soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in an absorbed mood. In absorbed mood inside of us and outside of us. Because the absolute truth we have to realize outside and inside is everywhere. Like the ether and all the material elements are simultaneously inside of our body and also outside of the body. Same, Krishna says, I'm inside of everyone, a super soul, but in the same time also outside. I'm outside in every atom, everywhere, all penetrating. And at the same time also in Goloka or in the spiritual world. So only by devotional prayers. Therefore we have prayers from the great acharyas, from the self-realized personalities, devotees. We can accept them and recite them. That's recommended. Reciting prayers, not only like a parrot, like Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or any prayer. We should not just repeat like a parrot, just to finish the quota of repetitions of the prayer. Because prayers can, like japa, we can also repeat prayers. Not only one time, many times, again and again and again and again. Like we also do Gayatri Mantra or the different mantras we're chanting. Gopal Mantra, Kama Gayatri Mantra. All these mantras, they actually become more effective when we repeat it again and again and again and again and let it go down deeper and deeper to our heart, to where the soul is situated. And then gradually this ignorance of the soul will be removed by the light of the mantra. Because the mantra itself is Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And only with this mantra, the Lord is creating this world, is maintaining the world, and is annihilating this world. The mantra is therefore very important. And if you can recite regularly the authorized mantras of the Vaishnavas coming from Sampradaya, it's very important that we are accepting mantras accepted and respected and followed by our Sampradaya Acharyas. So Bhagavatam in general, all the mantras, all the prayers are accepted. And this Gajendra prayer, it's very nice. even although he was cursed, he knew the mantra in his previous life. He was a king, Indra Dumna was his name. He lived in South India. He gave up his family and he went to a solitary place where he absorbed in mantra, in these prayers. And you can see these prayers are based on Shastra. They're not self-invented. So that means he learned these mantras from Shastras, from a guru, teacher. That's even more effective. If the guru is teaching you mantra and prayers, then it is very, very effective. And he became so much absorbed in meditation, in the recitation of the mantra, like japa, that he was not aware anymore what was going around him. So one time one sage came, Agastya Muni, with the disciples that he came. And when a sage comes normally to somebody's place, then one immediately has to receive him, rise and offer respect. Sitting place, drinking water, like that. Maybe something, nice words, welcome, giving respect. But because the king, he was so much in trance, in samadhi, due to his mantra, this same prayer, he could not see who was outside. So the sage, he became angry. Sages can become angry. Vaishnava was not. Sages become angry because of their dedication, of their vows. They know what is dharma. They're not necessarily transcendental, but they can become angry. And they have certain knowledge. And he cursed. The sage cursed Agastya. He cursed the king to become a dull animal, an elephant. And the king, he accepted this as Krishna's mercy because he was dedicated, surrendered. He was anyway not interested anymore in the material existence. So he completely was surrendered. He accepted the curse as a blessing. And so in next life, although he was an elephant, and temporarily forgot this mantra, this prayer, when he came in difficulty, the crocodile Maya attacked him. Nobody could help him anymore. His great family who was with him, all the other elephants, they could not help him. All his descendants, they were all fallible soldiers. And he was helpless. And he realized, by my own power, I can also not remove myself from this attack of the crocodile. And fear, anxiety appeared in him. And from that fear of anxiety about his losing his life, this prayer, his past life's prayer appeared by Krishna's mercy, by mantra mercy, appeared in his mind, in his heart, and he recited it with great devotion, with great surrender, because he had no other choice. We still have choice. Therefore, we are sometimes not so much surrendered. Sometimes we are, sometimes not. But if you have no choice, last time we heard from Bhagavatam speaker, it was 2 weeks ago I was present. So he told the story about the description of the Padma Purana, of the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he didn't tell the whole story because it's always time aspect. So I want to tell the end of the story. Because you remember those who were here? I forgot his name, Prachasundar. He's a very, very nice Bhagavatam speaker. So he narrated the Bhagavad Mahatmya from Padma Purana, but he didn't spoke the end of it, because there were two brothers. One brother, he was pious, Gokarna, and the other one, he was a rascal, Dumbakari. I think his name was Dumbakari. And he was a rascal. And he had many attachments to lust and greed. So his own lovers, they killed him because he had many lovers. So they killed him because he was also a Kripana at the same time. So he became a ghost. And his brother wanted to deliver him, try to deliver him by so many rituals and offering oblations to the forefathers and for the brother, Pratri, Yagya, by sister, Pratri, sister, mother, father, for all you can do some Yagya for their benefit, in case they got some subtle body, not a material body or deliverance from the cycle of birth and death. So in this case, because he was a rascal and died artificially, so he became a ghost. So the only option was Bhagavatam recitation. And by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ghost became liberated. He attained his Svarup in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. And everyone who was present, he was not the only one who was present in the Bhagavatam class. They could all see how Dumbakari, this ghost with a spiritual body, by Kunta airplane, took him to the spiritual world. So they were amazed. Why him? And we are not. We are still here. Why he is not delivered? Why we are not delivered? He is delivered because we also heard Bhagavatam. So why we didn't got the same result? Means Bhagavatam is partial. Bhagavad Katha is partial? No. The Bhagavatam reciter, because he was enlightened, he told, because you were not attentively listening. You were not attentive in the Bhagavatam class. You were sleeping, sometimes thinking about your family, about your business, about this and about that, material things. You were not completely concentrated. This person, he was completely concentrated because he suffered. He was in suffering condition, and for him was no other alternative. His mind was steady, because therefore he took shelter in the bamboo rod, in the bamboo stick, who had 7 knots. Because a bamboo stick, the mind is flickering. So the mind has to take shelter in something. Therefore, ghosts sometimes enter in some body, in another body, weak body, or they enter in a tree, or even in small forms. Murti, not Krishna Murti, but in certain puppets or forms, the ghost can enter. In trees especially, it's very famous that the ghost entering the tree, because that's the place where they find shelter. So that ghost, he found shelter in that bamboo. But after 7 days of recitation of Bhagavatam, the bamboo rod completely collapsed, and the person in it became delivered. So he was fixed. We are not fixed, although we are in a body, because mind is always wavering. And we still have the freedom or choice to surrender or not to surrender every day. But as Lord Ramachandra says, if somebody earnestly surrenders unto me and tells, from this day on, my dear Lord, I belong to you, I will take care for him. I will protect him. He will not have any problem anymore. He will become one of my associates. And to whom he gave this promise, Lord Ramachandra? To Bibisan. Actually, he gave this promise to Ramachandra, to Hanuman. Hanuman, he thought, oh, Bibisan, he's a brother of Ravana, so kill him. Bibisan rejected Ravana. Bibisan, he advised Ravana, give up Sita, release her, and give her back to Ram, otherwise he will become destroyed. But he didn't listen. Therefore you can give up brother, mother, father, guru, any authority, if he is deviating from the process of surrendering to Krishna or of the process of Dharma. So he rejected. He rejected Ravana, his own brother, although he was younger, so he should be dependent on him. So he rejected him, and he went to Lord Ram and surrendered unto him. But the monkeys, the servants of Ram, they wanted to kill him. They thought he is an enemy. But Ramachandra said, no, it's my promise that whoever surrenders to me, I'm yours, I will protect him. I accept him as my devotee. So this promise is very famous. Krishna also accepted this promise. So whatever Krishna promised to his devotee, that is eternal. So Krishna personally taking care for a devotee if he attentively, earnestly surrenders and hears, chants, absorbs in Krishna consciousness. So in this way the people, they want from the Bhagavad recitation, they wanted to get another chance, second chance. Let's have the Bhagavatam. We want to listen Bhagavatam again for 7 days. But this time, everyone endeavored very much to fix mind on Bhagavad Katha. And in the end of the 7 days, they also became airplane came, like Kunta airplane, and delivered them to the spiritual world. So this attentiveness, this absorption, this is actually makes the change in the heart. It makes us makes us connected through the prayers, authorized prayers and mantra. The Lord listens, he hears, because he seems to be far away in his world of light, and we are in the darkness. And so we think, oh, the Lord is not listening to me. Because he's so far away. And he has so many other things to do. No, he listens, because he's also at the same time very near in everyone's heart. So he knows your desires, he knows your prayers. And the Lord will respond accordingly. And only by this full surrender, giving up, helplessly, like the child in the beginning at all, the child who cries for the mother, and then Krishna will come. Then the mantra will come and deliver us. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishrayasaya Lokasya Danyam Svastanam Ahat Krishna Svatama Bhagate Dharma Gyani Bhisaha Kala Nastati Shamesha Purunarko Tunoditaha. So this Bhagavatam appeared in the Kali Yuga as Krishna himself to give us the light. So Srila Vyasadeva, who is Bhagavan Rishi, who appeared who is Narayana in the form of the great sage of Vyasa, he gave us this Srimad Bhagavatam on his ripened stage of realization of the Absolute Truth. And where he had direct darshan of the Lord, and Maya, and the living entities. The living entities were fully on the grasp of Maya, darkness, but the Lord, his energy stayed behind his back in a far distance. So therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam for the living entities in this material world to give them an opportunity to connect with the Absolute Truth, and so in this way become free of fear and of anxiety. Then one becomes strong. By devotion one will become strong and very determined in our daily activities in devotional service. Hare Krishna, Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.